Mr. Thuvian.
Good morning, everyone. I'm not used to saying that, but it is still morning. See, we have the same problem in Columbus. Nobody sits in the front row. Might as well just take those seats out, because then everybody would move back a row, wouldn't they? My wife, I know when I come, more people want to see her than me, but it's the truth. I've been married 30-some years. Anyway, she's not here, obviously. She's had a hernia operation yesterday, so she's recovering at home for that, and she said just send her hello to everyone. Last weekend, we were at the Cypress. We have a camp out. We've done it for 11 years. Mark Miller was there with his lovely girlfriend. That's not a secret to anyone, is it? Good. But they were there. Next year, we're trying to get the Thuvians to come, so keep pushing them for that. We had a real good time. I know they're not campers, but you know what? It's still a lot of fun. Anyone else is welcome as well. I do want to put a plug in for next week. We have the first weekend of the Teen Speech Club. So all you young people that are here, I know the Thuvians come, but you're welcome to come for that as well. Second Sabbath of every month, except for the October. We're not going to do it during the feast time. Anyway, I want to thank Mr. Parrish for that sermonette, because it does tie right in with mine. I appreciate those were very good points. It's something that we can all learn from. Anyway, a guy has a grape in one ear, an apple in his other ear, and a cherry up his nose. He goes to the doctor and asks him what's wrong. The doctor tells him, well, for one thing, you're not eating right. Now, that is going to tie into what I'm saying today. Keep remembering that. As Mark mentioned, you know, we're not too far away. It's been several weeks now, but the Holy Days. We came through the spring Holy Days, came through Pentecost. And we celebrated, during that time, we celebrated the beginning of the church. We talk about the power of the Holy Spirit and how we should be using that power in our lives. God's Spirit has been a wonderful, wonderful gift that He has given to His people. It is something we should be very, very thankful for, and something that we should be using. And as we're now closer to the Feast of Tabernacles, we're kind of halfway through there, we understand, as Mark mentioned as he watches the news, this world really needs help. I mean, we are in a time. And I know it's so easy for us older people, as I consider myself one now. But it's so easy to say, boy, in my day, we didn't have it that way. You know, but times are really, really different today. You know, you turn on the news and you do get depressed. Especially if you watch MSNBC or anything like that, because they're not getting it. But if you watch the news, it is really depressing. And this world needs God's Spirit. This world needs God's hope. And we as a church, we as a people, we're to be led by that Holy Spirit. We're not to be led by flesh. We're not to be led by the lust of the flesh. But we're to be led by the Spirit of God. Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians 5, verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Through God's Spirit, we are a new creation. We are living a different life. We see things differently. Please go, let's move down a few pages. Let's go to Galatians, or back a few pages. No, over, I'm sorry, forward. Galatians 2, verse 20, please. Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. This is Paul. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, through the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ lives his life in us. We have been changed. We have been made new. Now let's go over to John 3. John 3, verse 1. John 3, verse 1. John 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We know verse 3 can also read from born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. During the Pentecost season, the Holy Day, we celebrated the gifts of God's Holy Spirit. We celebrated, during the spring Holy Days, a rebirth. We should have come out of those days, and hopefully we did, a new person, a new creation, as we recommitted ourselves into that way of life. We recommitted ourselves to following God. We recommitted ourselves to the Holy Spirit, that it was part of us, that it came into us. Now, and as we move towards the feast, we should be producing fruit. Let's go to Galatians, please. Galatians 5, verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16. Starting in verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are not led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Kind of like watching the news. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. Here we have the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. I have 5 points or 5 facts about spiritual fruit. I'm going to have points and sub-points, so I'm going to have to pay attention a little bit. My first point, the source of the fruits of the Spirit is obviously God, God's Holy Spirit. As Christians, we are changed at the core of our being, and we are now in Christ. We are no longer in the flesh, but the flesh is still in us. That is, our old habits can still raise their ugly heads sometimes. As we read in the first part of this passage, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, so that we do not do the things sometimes that we wish to do. Paul mentions that. We read about the lust of the flesh, and without the aid of God's Spirit, this is what our lives would be like. Without God's Spirit, our lives could be the first part, the envies, the murderers, the nastiness that we read up there. However, with God's Spirit in us, we have Christ in us. His fruit is a natural product of His life within us. God's Spirit helps us overcome the lusts of the flesh, and it helps us grow the fruits of the Spirit. Point number two, the nature of the fruits of the Spirit is character. The 15 works of the flesh in Galatians 5:19-21 are those things that produce conflict and brokenness. Broken homes, broken relationships, broken hearts, broken dreams. The fruit of the Spirit is seen in a godly character that produces wholeness. And that character involves the growing reproduction of the moral character of Jesus Christ in God's people. In fact, the best evidence of the presence of God's Spirit in our lives is not acts of power or remarkable gifts and abilities or awesome experiences. The best evidence of God's Spirit is a growing moral likeness to Jesus Christ, which is here described as the fruit of the Spirit. Number three. I think I have a fruit fly up here, so that's kind of, I guess it's apropos, but... Number three, the production of fruits of the Spirit is gradual. Fruit grows and develops. You don't plant a tree and all of a sudden, boom, there's a peach on it, or cherries. It does not suddenly appear. And neither does character. You do not become faithful because of a single dramatic encounter, even with God. Character, like fruit, is a product of time. John 15:4, if you turn there, please. John 15:4. John 15:4. Jesus says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." We see in the spring, small buds appear, and then early fruit appears on the vine or the tree. It starts to grow, a little bud, a flower, a little bud, and then a fruit eventually appears. If the relationship with that branch is broken, if we pick that fruit off that tree, that fruit doesn't grow anymore. There will be no mature fruit. So if we go and pick everything, just as it starts to flower, if we pick it all off, that fruit will not grow anymore. The relationship with the branch is crucial, as it is. It takes time to ripen. And the same is true with spiritual fruit. The more we follow, the more we listen, the more we obey, the more we use the power of God's Spirit, the more we will produce fruit, and the more we will become like Jesus Christ. Number four, the development of spiritual fruit is holistic. We use the phrase of the Spirit. Paul talked about the fruit of the Spirit. It can be used as a collective noun, but it can also be used singular. God's Spirit does not produce isolated characteristics such as love, joy, peace, but it produces combined fruit that increasingly resembles Jesus Christ. Paul is describing not nine jewels, but a single jewel with nine distinct facets. It is difficult to be a mature Christian when we have love. We can have love, but we don't have joy. We don't have peace. Or we might be gentle, kind, faithful, patient, good, but we have no self-control. They all play together. All of the fruits of the Spirit are needed to become a mature Christian and to become more like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ embodied all the fruits of the Spirit. Number 5, the purpose of spiritual fruit is for service. Fruit is not on a tree just for display. You know, when you go through an apple orchard or go through a peach orchard, I mean, you want to pick those apples and you want to eat them. Or you want to pick strawberries or something like that. They can look pretty, but they're there to be consumed. They're there to be eaten as they ripen. Fruit, again, it's not for display. It is for the benefit and nourishment of others and to enable the tree to reproduce. Spiritual fruit is visible evidence of Jesus living his life in us. When Jesus Christ lives his life in us, we can be a blessing to others. Now let's, I told you there'd be sub-points. Here we come. Now let's look at the spiritual fruit that we are to be producing. The 9 qualities of fruit can be divided into 3 categories. The first 3, love, joy, and peace, tell us that God's Spirit reshapes our fundamental attitudes to life. They reshape our fundamental attitudes to life. The second 3, patience, kindness, and gentleness, patience, kindness, and goodness, tell us that God's Spirit produces essential qualities to serve others. The second 3 help us serve others. The final 3, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, tell us that God's Spirit builds within us the attributes for personal integrity. Personal integrity. Let's look at the first 3 now. The Spirit produces the fruit of godly attitudes. The first attitude is love. Love is the defining characteristic of God, because God is love. It is the opposite of the flesh, which is self-centered, self-indulging, self-aggrandizing. It is to be the distinguishing mark of a true Christian. As we read in John 13:35, and I'll just read it. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. We sing a hymn about that. The love that God gives is the love that God shows. It is more than warm feelings of affection, more than romantic attraction. Spirit love is a self-giving concern for others that produces sacrificial action. The emphasis in these love attributes is our relationships with other people. The love that is described is a love for other people. It imitates the God of love by seeking the best for others, whatever the personal cost. Love is one of the true evidences of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The second attribute produced by the Spirit is joy. Joy is the inner sense of well-being that comes from satisfaction in God, which produces a delight in life. The wonder of true joy is that it can coexist with sorrow. Paul mentions this in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10. In verse 10 he writes, yet always rejoicing as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet, I'm not sure if that's what I want, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10. Okay, we talked about being sorrowful, yet always rejoicing as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing. He talks about times of joy, times of sorrow, but we can rejoice. We can have joy even when sorrow. Yeah, Paul is describing his ministry, rejoicing as poor, yet making many rich. Joy is knowing that God is always, always with you. Joy is believing Romans 8:28. when we know, Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to those who love God. When we know that all things really do work together for good to those who love God, we can still have joy. It is knowing in the darkest time that we are never alone and that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And that's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to have joy when going through a terrible trial, when we lose a loved one. But God says that we can do that. We can know that there's a purpose, there's a reason. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it takes a long time to know there's a reason for everything. It takes a long time to believe Romans 8:28. The third attribute produced by God's Spirit is peace. Peace is the deep inner sense of well-being that comes from the possession of adequate resources. If you've ever been on a dark road, you're driving, you're out in the middle of nowhere, the gas gauge flips E, and you're thinking, I'm pretty sure I can make it, and then there's no gas stations. You drive by one that's just been closed. So it's darker, it's snowy, it's rainy, and you're thinking, I gotta make it. You're praying. Your prayers really go up fervent, don't they, that time? It's darker and darker. But you know what? You find a gas station. You pull in. You put that gas in the tank and, man, you feel good, don't you? Like you escaped one that time. I know I do it too often. Sometimes I like to test my car to see if I can make it from my office to home. My wife says, one of these days you're going to get caught. But it's such a good feeling. It's a sense of peace when we're filled up like that, isn't it? Or we're waiting for that phone call for someone to make sure, especially when you have kids, that they made it safely to one place or another. It's a sense of peace. It's an anxiety. Spiritual peace gives us that feeling with God. We are safe. We're good to go. Our gas tank is full. Our sins have been forgiven and we are at the possession of adequate resources. We are at peace. Let's go to Romans 5, please. Romans 5, verse 1. Hope there's a lot of food today because we're going to quit early. So, you didn't have any special music or too many announcements. So. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified and we have peace with God. The next group of the fruits, the second three, God's Spirit produces essential qualities to ministry or serve others. The first quality is patience. The Greek language has two words for patience, one of which primarily describes patience with circumstances, the other, patience with people. It is the second that is used here. Being patient with others. Unfortunately, we live in a world, we live in a church, and I'm maybe not Cambridge, but some of the other churches, that are inhabited by less than perfect people. And sometimes our patience gets stretched. Go camping with 80 people. And everyone's fighting for coffee in the morning. No, nobody was fighting. But your patience gets stretched a little bit sometimes. Sometimes, well, the word patience has a literal meaning of long temper. Sometimes we have short tempers, and during the day we can encounter a lot of people with short tempers. Seems like they're always driving on the left lane on the freeway when I'm trying to get around them. Maybe I'm the one with a short temper, but I'm supposed to go faster than 65 in that left lane, just anybody, in case you know. Okay. God's Spirit builds in us the capacity to be patient with people who wrong us, or who don't wrong us, but they just irritate us. Patience is the opposite of anger. They refuse to give up on people or get even. Being patient can be a huge blessing in your home, on your job, on the road, at church. Whenever we deal with people, being patient is a blessing. Being patient actually serves others. The second quality is kindness. Kindness describes a sensitivity to others that leads us to do what is useful. It is the opposite of harshness or severity. Patience causes us to hold back anger. Kindness compels us to reach out so that others feel valued. It is not merely a feeling or a disposition, but it moves us to action. Kindness helps us to not just have, again, have compassion for somebody, but it has to move out to help that person. Do you need something? You know, can I buy you a meal? Can I relieve that burden from you? And that's what the kindness is. With godly kindness, we want to help and encourage others, even those who may not deserve it. Showing kindness also serves others. The third quality is goodness. In absolute terms, goodness is a quality that belongs to God alone, as Jesus stated in Mark 10:18, when he said, "No one is good except God alone." Goodness is closely aligned to kindness, and it involves actions. Justice gives people what they deserve. It does what is required. Goodness goes one step further in doing what is needed. Goodness is expressed as generosity, a giving attitude to others that goes far beyond what is required. God's Spirit builds within us the attributes of personal integrity. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the last one of that point, of those three. The next three is God's Spirit builds within us the attributes of personal integrity. The first attribute is faithfulness. True faith produces faithfulness and reliability. This is what God's Spirit produces in the lives of people of faith. Faithfulness is a loyalty to commitments and convictions, even when experiencing downside costs. It is loyalty to people that others may be abandoning. It is a dependability that means that I can be counted on to do what I said I would do. We live in a serve-yourself society where we see people walking away from marriages, families, obligations. Please turn with me to Proverbs 20, verse 6. Proverbs 20, verse 6. Proverbs 20, verse 6, most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? God's Spirit produces trustworthy, faithful people. The second attribute for personal integrity is gentleness. In the Greek, this word conveys the idea of strength under control. It describes a horse broken to the bridle or an ox submitted to the yoke. A gentle person is someone who is angry with the right person for the right reason, on the right occasion, in right manner, for the right length of time. That's a lot of ifs, ands, and buts, but it's, you know, Jesus had righteous anger, righteous indignation, but he was gentle. He was always known as a gentle person. A gentle person, he or she has a submissive, teachable spirit before God, which produces gentleness with other people. It is the opposite of an arrogant, self-righteous attitude. Moses was a strong, dynamic leader. He was able to confront Pharaoh and lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. Yet, he is described in Numbers 12:3, "Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth." The ultimate example of gentleness is described in Matthew 11:29. If you turn there, please. Matthew 11:29. Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think we can all agree that Jesus, even though he was a strong man, he said what he wanted to say that needed to say, yet he was gentle. And a lot of leaders are like that. If you look around, good, strong leaders, people would say, boy, he knows what he's doing. People follow him, but that person is usually a very gentle person. The final attribute for personal integrity is self-control. This is a mastery of self with strong emotions and impulses under control. It is the ability to live with strong desires and drives, but to keep them under the control of one's convictions and choices. Self-control is the foundation for all moral living. Please turn with me to Proverbs 25, verse 28. Proverbs 25, verse 28. Verse 28. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. When we do not practice self-control, chaos reigns. Self-control is just so important in this world. As we know, we can see the breakdown of self-control. We have nations that can't control themselves. They can't control their spending. We have companies that can't control themselves. And we have individuals that can't control themselves. We overeat. We overdrink. There's people that can't control themselves. There are a lot of different urges that they have. They can't control themselves. And it's a problem that we have. And we live in a world that if I'm hungry, I can go get fast food. If I'm thirsty, we live in a world that, you know, if I'm uncomfortable, I just turn the heat up, turn it down. You know, we live in a world of just immediate satisfaction. So people don't have self-control. And we talk about, you know, if you tell people that you fast for 24 hours, people cannot believe that. Even adults, they cannot believe. We have to have water. You have to have a cracker. You have to do something. People cannot believe you can contain yourself for 24 hours without food. Some people can't go 24 hours without being on the phone or texting or looking up things on their iPad. I mean, we all have addictions like that. But self-control is just very, very important, and it's the fruit of one of God's Spirit. Turn with me back to Galatians 5:25, which we read earlier. Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. When we follow the lead of God's Holy Spirit, our lives will change. And we will be growing. We will be growing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We will become stronger Christians. We will become a stronger church, a stronger congregation. When we have to have a mindset to grow. And I know Mr. Kubik has been focusing on that. The Council of Elders have been focusing on that, on growing the church. I think it's this next week, isn't it, Wednesday, that we're having the Why Were You Born seminars. You know, I hope we're all praying for that. Not, you know, would it be great to have 500 new people come to church? Yes, it would. But you know, we know God has a plan for everything He wants to do. But we are, as a church, we need to be growing. And when people come in that door, we need to be welcoming them in the right way. You know, we don't want to go up there and say, you know, I hope you didn't have pork for breakfast. We don't want that here. You know, breathe in my face. I smell sausage. We don't want to do that. We want to welcome people in. You know, we want to answer their questions. You know, we don't want to tell them about first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh tithes. We don't want to do that. You know, we want to welcome them into God's church. You know, they may come in with longer hair. You know, they may come in with a tattoo that says something on their shoulder. We have to welcome them in. They'll learn. We want to help them grow. And that's what I think Mr. Kubik is trying to do. We want to build the church, not slam the door on people's faces. You know, we don't want them coming in with, you know, guns and stuff like that and shooting people, but we want them to come in and to learn this way of life. You know, I was privileged to grow up in the church. I was a baby. But, you know, nobody said, you know what? He messed his pants. He can't come into church today. You know, we want people to be welcome. And I think that's what Mr. Kubik is trying to say. And we have to have a mindset in the church to help each one of us grow, but to help others grow in this way of life as well. We have to have a strong desire to use God's Spirit to come out of the world and to His service. Hopefully when people come into church, they see God's Spirit in action. They leave and say, wow, that place was bright. Because God's light was in there. If you turn with me to Colossians 3, please. Colossians 3, verse 1. Colossians 3, verse 1, we're going to read down to verse 10. Starting in verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Here again, Paul is telling us to put off the flesh, to get rid of the flesh of the world, to get rid of the ways of the world. We have been cleaned up. Back through the holy days, we had Passover, we had the days of unleavened bread. You know, the plan of God is just so fantastic when you think about it. Every year that we get to do that, He cleans us up again. He washes off the world. But He expects us not to go out and jump in a mud puddle. And sometimes we do. We step in that mud puddle. We bathe in that mud puddle. But He asks us to come out of the mud puddle, to clean up, to be a light, to be a shining light to this world. We have been given the promised help through God's Holy Spirit. We don't want to go back into the cesspool of the world. Let's read verses 12 through 16 in the same chapter. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. This is what we must be doing. This is growing. This is moving ahead. This is where the church should be going. This is following the lead of God's Holy Spirit, that Spirit that has been given to us. We should be budding with fruit. Others should be seeing our fruit. We are to be a witness to the world of what God's Holy Spirit could do for mankind. You know, in a few short weeks, we're going to be all heading off to the Feast of Tabernacles, the epitome of our year. We're going to be going and staying in hotels or condos or wherever we are, going to a different city and every day going. And people are going to notice that. What are these people? All these at the hotel. I know in Panama City, you know, everybody's walking in their nice clothes, and other people that are staying there must think, what are these people doing? But you know, hopefully as we're walking to church and we're walking back, we're shining our light. When we go out to restaurants, we're shining our light. We're being bright examples. We're showing the love. We're showing God's Spirit to all these people. We're witnessing. We're witnessing for God's way of life in every day, every activity, whether we're a teenager at a beach party, whether we're an adult, we're at restaurants, we're witnessing God's way of life to others. The fruits of the Spirit, they change us for the better. Please turn to Matthew 7:16, please. Matthew 7, verse 16. You will know them, this is Jesus Christ, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes and thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. The world will know we are God's church, God's people, by the fruit we produce. When we produce spiritual fruit, we honor God. We honor Jesus Christ. People that will know that we are of God. When you go to school, when you go to church, when you go to, well, hopefully at church they do, when you go to school, when you go to work, when you go to the grocery store, you are kind, you're nice. People notice that. People notice people that are kind and nice. People notice people that are loving, that are gentle. We should be growing the fruits of God's Spirit. We have to have courage as we grow through each day, each week. We need to remember Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God helps us to grow, helps us to learn. We have to get our minds and our thoughts on things above. We have to put our minds on things above and get them off the things below. We have to conquer the flesh and to look to God's Spirit for the help that we need. If we can focus on Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9 every day, please turn there. Philippians 4, Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things, do these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Goes back to Mr. Parrish's last point today. At the end of a day, end of each day, reflect on what you did. Reflect on how you're growing. Reflect on the fruits of the Spirit. God's Spirit will be with us and guide us in our walk as we continue to grow. And if we do the things that we just read, Jesus Christ will be with us. People will see your fruit. They will see your changed life. They will see you growing. And better yet, you will see yourself growing. And you will be honoring God. We all will be honoring God as we grow. Summer and now fall is a wonderful time for fresh fruits. It's almost apple time. I love fresh apples. But you know, strawberries, blueberries, cherries, watermelon, grapes, apricots, plums, peaches, apples, whatever else is growing out there. It's a wonderful time to take in and experience that fruit. But it's also a wonderful time for spiritual fruit. Of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God's Spirit helps us produce these wonderful fruits.